This is Susanna McMonagle, and you're listening to Season 3 of the 5 to 8 Shift podcast for parents. The 5 to 8 Shift podcast and community exists to educate, inspire, and encourage parents throughout their parenthood adventure. Here, we talk about all the things impacting parents today, everything from mental health to technology to faith, teenagers, toddlers, self-care routines, and so much more. We know parenting is tough work, but family life is worth every ounce of effort. We hope you listen in, share with your favorites, and are reminded that you're not alone. We look forward to cheering you on in your own 5 to 8 shift. It's the most important shift of the day. Hey everyone, it's Susanna. I hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, wherever and whenever you're listening to this podcast. If you're new, welcome. I'm so glad you decided to check us out. I have a great conversation on tap today. I also have over 70 episodes full of wonderful content. If you've been around a while, thanks for being here. You guys mean the world to me. I'm so excited about today's episode. So, if you know me in real life or hang out on Instagram stories with me at all, you will know that I am really into the Enneagram right now. And so some of you are rolling your eyes and you're about to click out. Please don't. Hear me out. My episode today is with Jackie Brewster. She does all things Enneagram. She has over 75,000 followers on Instagram. She posts some of the best content. I repost it all the time. And I myself have really dug into some of the Enneagram stuff over the past year. And I have to tell you, it is really cool. It is really interesting. And so I have learned a lot about myself and some of my behavior. So I am a 3 on the Enneagram. If you don't know anything about the Enneagram, Jackie's going to describe it. She's going to give the overview. She's going to give plenty of examples. It's really thought-provoking. And she has a new book called The Enneagram and Your Marriage that I am super excited for. So this book, brand spanking new. She has been doing this kind of work, however, for years and years. She does coaching. She does couples coaching. She works with corporations. She's got this really great Instagram community. And so her and I have this awesome chat about the Enneagram and specifically about the Enneagram in your marriage. And so one of the things, you know, in my own life, as I've dug into what it means to be a 3, and here are what it means when I'm a healthy 3, and here's some of the pitfalls when I'm not feeling so great about myself. But like Jackie's work is bringing that out about your spouse. And so Chris, my husband of almost 10 years, you know, what is he like when he's healthy? What are some ways that he might be avoiding things? And then, you know, the more I know Jackie and I talk about this, the more compassionate I show up to our conversations because I understand and some of the challenges that he has in his number, which is a 9, and mine that are so different. And like, how can we totally have great conversations and all of these amazing things? And one of the things that Jackie said that I think is super profound is I asked her at the end, I said, what's your hope from this book? And she boldly says, this book is going to transform relationships. And I said to Chris, my husband, later, I said, not many people say that. I said, people think their book is really good or like going to help some people. And I, having been digging into the Enneagram for probably the last 6 to 9 months or so, probably since last summer, I believe it. When I know more about myself, I have more compassion for myself. I have more compassion for others. And when you're learning more about your spouse, you're showing up with so much more empathy and patience. And it's just, it's really cool. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode as much as I do. Jackie gives you all the things at the end where you can connect with her. Her new book, The Enneagram and Your Marriage, out wherever books are sold. On Instagram, she's Enneagram with JB, and her website is enneagramwithjb.com too. So I hope you guys enjoy. Let me know on social media. Send me an email or a message. Thanks for being here. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 Shift. This is Susanna. I have Jackie Brewster on the podcast today, and I think y'all are going to really like what she has to share. So Jackie, for my season 3, I'm doing a rapid fire introduction where it's 5 quick questions so we can kind of get to know you before we dig in today's topic. Does that work?
Works for me. Yes.
Okay. The first question is, where did you grow up?
Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. And where do you live now?
Tennessee.
Okay, so you're just going south, which yes. I don't blame you. What is one of your favorite foods or restaurants?
I love Mediterranean. So I do Tzatziki's is probably one of my favorite restaurants right now.
Oh, that sounds so good. If you could only have one for a year, would you pick movies or music?
That is so hard.
Oh,
my gosh. I don't know. I think I would pick movies.
Movies.
Yes.
Okay. So. You're sticking with that answer.
Oh, my gosh. My husband's in the music business.
Okay.
So like, our whole life is music. Why would I pick movies? But I go to sleep to movies. And so
you need to sleep. Yeah.
I need the movies.
Yeah. That's the most important thing, sleep. So I get it. Okay. And then the last question here to kick us off is, so you're going to talk to us about the Enneagram and your marriage. And I'm so excited. So my question is, when you started doing this kind of work, did you have like an aha moment, or was this something that was kind of percolating over time?
That is a great question. 13 years ago, my girlfriend gave me a book. And at that time, I was a bestie. My four children were very little and life was chaotic. I felt like I was drowning in my own chaos of my house. And yeah. So she gave me this book, and I thought she was going to send me this book that was like, I could get lost in good reading, but it wasn't. It was an Enneagram book and it was about personality. And I began to read this book, and very quickly I was like, oh my gosh, she thinks I'm a mess, and I am a mess. And she's throwing me a lifeline, right? Oh, and I'm going to take the lifeline. Mm-hmm. And so I read this line in this book, and it said frantic escapism. And I felt like I read something about me that felt broken and wrong for so long. And as I read it on these pages, I began to understand, when I feel like I want to just get away from everything, it's not the healthiest version of me. It's because I'm overwhelmed and I feel trapped and I can't figure out who to turn to or how to turn to anybody else. And so that would be probably the pivotal moment for me where I was like, this tool gives me language to how I feel that I have felt shame around a lot of my life.
Wow. That's very compelling. And kudos to your friend for giving you that book that catapulted you on this journey. Okay. So if somebody lives under a literal rock and does not know what the Enneagram is, can you give us the quick overview?
Yeah. So the Enneagram is a personality typing system. It has 9 different personality types, 9 different ways of viewing the world, and they're all okay. And so this personality system, it really helps to uncover and discover more about who you are, why you do what you do, your patterns of behavior. And it literally shows you the box that you have put yourself in. It's not trying to put you in a box. There's a very different, there's a difference between this tool and some of the other tools out there. But this Enneagram tool is a tool for discovery. Let's get curious around, why do I do what I do? What does the best version of me look like? What do I look like when I'm stressed? It gives you language to help you understand yourself. And then also, like, think about it like a ladder to climb out. Like,
yes.
Oh my gosh, here I'm in this well with all this stuff about myself. I'm lost. I'm confused. Somebody just drops a ladder in and I can begin to climb out of this and make some sense of my own personal story.
Yeah. And I like that you said that, you know, they're all okay. You know, there's not like one number that's the winner, right?
Right.
And so I think sometimes with some of these personality tests, you know, like there's clearly places you want to land, right?
Yes.
And what
yes.
I like about the Enneagram is, like, I know a lot of people who are a lot of the numbers, and I think they're all fabulous and wonderful. And it truly is discovery. So, okay, you can tell me if you're like, no, this is too much, you don't have to do it. But is there an easy way to go through the 9 types? Like, if somebody's driving their kids and they're like, I wonder what I am. Is there a way for you to kind of like, or what are some of the more popular ones? I don't want to take up too much time, but like, I want to kind of give people a sense of where they might fall with some of the questions I want to ask next.
Okay, I will do like a rapid fire.
Perfect.
Like, we'll try it, okay? The Enneagram 1 is a moral perfectionist. Their focus of attention is on right and wrong, good and bad.
Okay.
Okay. The Enneagram 2 is a supportive advisor. Their focus of attention is on being loved and wanted in relationships and community. Okay. The Enneagram 3 is the determined achiever. They want to be successful. So that focus of attention is mm-hmm. on being admired, being successful, you know, driving towards achievement. The Enneagram 4 is a romantic individualist, and they have a focus of attention on being accepted and everybody else being accepted too. They are very in tune to their emotions, and they oftentimes lead with their emotions. The Enneagram 5 is the investigative thinker, and they are their focus of attention is on not being overwhelmed or being they really think about like, okay, how much time do I have and how much time do I want to give to other people and other things? Okay. They gather information at record speed. They know a little bit about a lot and typically a lot about one particular thing. The Enneagram 6 is the loyalist, and they care about community and connection. They care about attaching themselves to belief systems or groups of people that feel like supportive. They feel like they're all going in the same direction, doing this thing together. Mm-hmm. The Enneagram 7 is the energetic enthusiast, and their focus of attention is on upbeat, positive, happy, next thing, visionary, all the possibilities. They don't want to be trapped. They don't want to be trapped in anything.
Okay.
That would be me.
You're a 7. Okay. That's what I was going to ask in the end. Yep. Okay.
The Enneagram 8 is the protective challenger. They are strong and determined, and they are very protective of themselves and the people that are around them. The Enneagram 9 is the peaceful mediator, and they really care about everybody in the room being heard. They care about all sides of a situation being heard, and they can actually see all sides of a situation. They don't want to be in the middle of conflict and chaos, so they try to avoid that as much as possible.
As much as possible. Okay, cool. So I'm a 3. So, you know, what you've kind of described, that, you know, rings true for me. And I'm thinking of some people I know. Can you tell us, why is this such a helpful tool for couples? So your new work is coming out around marriages, which I think is really excellent. Why and how could this help a couple, knowing some of this?
Yeah. So this work I use with couples all the time. I have a new book out called The Enneagram in Your Marriage. And this work, it's a workbook because I want you to do it side by side. I want you to uncover and discover about yourself while your partner is doing the same thing, and for you guys to come together and be able to talk about the deeper issues. I got married at 21. He was 24. We had love and Jesus. Isn't that enough? And, 24 years later, it's taken a whole lot more than that, you guys. Tons of therapy, tons of books, tons of resources to help us get through this and to keep getting through this, liking each other, actually loving each other.
Yes.
And so the work is worth it, I tell you, because we needed a stronger foundation. We needed to ask questions that we didn't even know what questions to ask. Mm. And so this book helps you to go at it at whatever pace you want. It is a 7-week workbook, but you could take 14 weeks to do it. It's really at your own pace. But you go through this and you're just discovering things about each other, like the core motivation, core fear, core desire, the heart longing messages, unconscious childhood messages. Why do you function that way? Or why do you do that thing this way? Or why do you think like that? Where does it come from? This book really unpacks that for both people. And it's different than some of the other books where it's like, men and women.
Interesting.
This is like personality type. So a personality 3 and a personality 7, which is my husband and I.
Okay.
So this is like understanding his 3 personality and where the root came from around personality, and then understanding my 7 and where that has come from. Mm. It just grows the relationship and empathy and compassion, which leads to a deeper, richer emotional connection. And that is what we're looking for in our marriages, is this deep, rich emotional connection, where a lot of us may have found that we have settled for transactional connections in our relationship.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You're like, so my husband is a 9, and you know, I've been like anybody who will talk to me about the Enneagram, I will talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. Like my Bible study, I was like, can I bring up the Enneagram again? They're like, fine. You know, but it's so insightful, you know? And so there was some things I read about my husband as a 9, and it's just like, it was so like, you use the word empathy and compassionate. I just feel so much more empathy for where he kind of falls because like right. this peacemaker and he's like very selfless and worried about other people. And I'm like, why do you care about them? Like, you know, it's your whatever, fill in the blank. And it kind of has helped me just like be more compassionate, you know, because I'm like, who cares? You know, like let's check it off the list here. But it's like you're coming to the table with a completely different perspective, even if it's the same thing that just happened.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. It just changes everything. And I do a lot of work around those childhood messages, the unconscious childhood message and the heart longing message. When you understand that and you understand it about yourself and then you understand it about your partner, that is the base of most of your fighting. It's not whether you forgot to get milk at the grocery store or that you didn't help with, you know, cleaning up the dishes after dinner. It's not about those things. It's about what's below the surface. And so I'm an Enneagram 7. And so for me, my heart longing is to know I'm going to be taken care of. And it's on an emotional level. So I want to know that you see me as worthy of loving. Mm-hmm. So if you don't think about me when you're making decisions, we're going to fight.
Yeah.
If you think about me, we're probably not going to fight, you know? And then he's got a different story as an Enneagram 3. You know, his heart longing is to know that he's loved for who he is. But Enneagram 3s are like, I'm only loved if I'm doing something that is right. worth loving. So really for him to allow me to see that inner side of him, the inner child of him, has taken years and years and years for there to be that vulnerability around, I love you because you're you, not because of what you offer me or what you offer the world.
Yeah.
And him really believing that is true has created this bond between the two of us that was not always there. It's taken us a long time to get here.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that because I feel like there's a misconception that, you know, you're just going to, you know, like I just wrote down love and Jesus, ha ha, that's going to be enough. I mean, we've been married 10 years and you definitely are going to need more than those two things.
Yes.
So I was looking through part of your book and I was wondering if you would be able to, you just touched on it, the second week or second part of your book, you talked about breaking down barriers and you just said it's one of the key points. Would you be able to like kind of walk us through that or maybe like give an example from your work or somebody, you know, maybe one of the examples in the book about like what that might look like for somebody who's going through this workbook?
So breaking down barriers in the book is around unconscious childhood messages and core fears.
Yeah, the core fears. The core fears. I don't know if they're interrelated, but the fear one was really intriguing to me.
Yeah. They are related to each other. They're in the same week for this particular this book. And so if you can understand the unconscious childhood message that you received, and when we're talking about these messages, it's a message that was either spoken to you or you took in and perceived in your environment. And so if you look at the Enneagram 1 and their unconscious childhood message was, it's not okay to make a mistake. And so then the core fear out of this is I can't make mistakes. I can't be seen as bad. I can't do anything that's going to make me look corrupt. I don't want to be associated with anything that's going to make me look bad or corrupt or anything right like that. Okay. So the Enneagram 1 then marries somebody that has a different focus of attention. Okay. Yeah. Different. So an Enneagram 1 and I'm trying to think of some of my numbers that pair this way. An Enneagram 1 and Enneagram 9 pair this way. I've seen, you know, people with this pairing in relationships. So the Enneagram 9's messaging is it's not okay to assert yourself. So they would have grown up with this message, like it's not okay to assert yourself. It's not okay for you to just speak up and say what you want or say what you need. That's not okay. Whether it was said to them or they perceived this. And there's much deeper work underneath this. So as a coach, I go into the deeper work of like, where did it come from and how does this show up? But you know, for this conversation, it's understanding. So they're coming with this message is it's not okay to assert yourself. And then what they really want to know is that it is okay for them to have a voice. It is okay for them to speak up. It's okay for them to have a differing opinion. So you get these two people together, right? And one's like, it's not okay for us to make a mistake. The other one's like, I guess I can't say anything because it's not okay for me to assert myself.
Oh my gosh.
Now, so if the one thinks it's this way, then I'm going to have to fall in line because that's just kind of how I learned to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't mean that the 9 doesn't want to speak up, but it means that the 9 will have a hard time speaking up. And then we can see where resentment comes in. We can see where disconnect comes in, or withdrawn comes in. And so the dance that happens between the two couples, when you don't know these messages, you have no idea that this is what's below the surface of the relationship, yet you're fighting about all kinds of other things. Like the Enneagram one's like, how come you can't just tell me what you want? How come you can't just show up? How come you can't just say what you need? And they're like, because I'm looking at you and you're kind of telling me I can't. Like you're telling me what I should think or should want or should do. And so I don't know how to do that. Cause then I think I just shouldn't do that.
Right.
You know? And so then the Enneagram one is like, you make me feel stupid. You make me look bad. You make me. So then they feel like they made a mistake, or they're doing something wrong in the relationship because they can't figure out how the connection works. Like, why do you keep withdrawing? Why do you keep pulling away from me? It must be something wrong in me. I must be the problem.
Hmm.
And so in healthy relationships, we're looking for three things.
Okay.
Healthy, secure, attached relationships. We're looking for, are you accessible? Are you responsive? And are you engaging?
Tell me more about that.
Okay. So when we're looking at this in relationship and we're thinking about adult relationships, okay, so this is not the parent-child relationship. That looks different.
Yeah.
These components are still there. It just looks different. But in the adult relationship, it's reciprocal. So when I reach for you, are you accessible to me? So when I reach for you, are you going to respond to me? So the Enneagram one might say like to their 9 partner, like, hey, what do you think about dinner tonight? They're reaching for them. And if the 9 doesn't respond at all, then the communication's been shut off. Like they just didn't respond in text or whatever. They're like, I don't know. It doesn't matter what I say because they pick what they want anyways, you know?
Yes.
Well, we have some of them. My husband would be, that's how I would have felt with my husband. I don't know that it matters. Like you're going to pick and we're just going to go.
Yeah.
So if there's no response, then that's where the engagement stops right there. Mm-hmm. If they do respond, so if the Enneagram one says, hey, what do you want to do for dinner tonight? And the 9 is like, I don't know, you pick it anyways. Then there was zero attunement, right? So the response was sharp and it kind of shut the conversation off right there. So we're not going to have a reciprocal relationship where we engage and dance in this thing because it's going to feel like, well, that's how that went. So if it was the Enneagram one says, hey, what do you want to do for dinner tonight? And the 9 says, I don't know. What were you thinking? That's attunement. That's we're going to dance together. Well, I was thinking about this. Oh, okay. I kind of was hoping that maybe we would choose this tonight. Oh, okay. That sounds good. Let's do that. And then you start to dance together. So that then the engagement happens. Mm. Like the conversation flows both ways where there is respect. There's space for both people to have differing opinions. And it's this beautiful cycle. We do not all live in 100% of the time. Okay. We're shooting for 60%. Can we shoot for 60% of the time?
Okay. I like you, Jackie. This is good. 60%. A passing grade.
60% of the time. Let's try to dance together. Mm. But yeah. So does that kind of break it down, make sense of that?
It does. Okay. You said accessible, responsible, engaging. What do you mean by responsible? What's like a...
Responsive. So it's responsive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So responsive. And that piece right there is that attuning piece. So if the person, like the 9 said, like, I don't know, you're going to pick it anyways. There was not an attunement that happened. Like they were not responsive in a way that continued the conversation. They kind of shut it down right there. So when we talk about that responsiveness, we're looking for an attunement to happen between each partner. Like I'm attuning to you, you're attuning to me, and we're paying attention to what the other person cares about and thinks about. We're giving good eye contact and body language. We're making the other person know that they matter to us and that... Okay. You know, I think about the words being celebrated versus tolerated a lot, right? In this right here. So in relationships that you feel celebrated, you're going to respond in a way that feels comfortable. Like, oh, we're going to do this thing together. If you are in a relationship that you feel tolerated, right? And this responsiveness is probably edgy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think all of us can flow in and out of this, especially when we've got little kids at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, sometimes it's just like the attunement is like, I am attuning to 97 things right now, you know?
And
you know, I think you raised some good points about, hey, 60%, you know, I'm a overachieving 3. So I'm like, maybe I can do 70%. Right. Maybe we can get up there. And I feel like the whole marriage piece is really interesting because like you just said, it's not the same as parent-child because it's so reciprocal. Mm-hmm. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, there's like a equal kind of like investment needed by both people in this point. So like, what is like, what are some of the biggest differences between like learning the Enneagram for yourself and then like learning the Enneagram and like applying that like your workbook, like into mm-hmm. like the marriage piece of it as you see it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first part of the work is you. Before you go and learn about your spouse, you probably should learn about you. Learning about yourself, learning what is actually going on below the surface of your personality. Your personality sits out in front of you. Your personality is coping strategies in all the ways that you figured out, how do I get love? How do I get my needs met? And how do I keep myself safe? You've been trying to do this since birth. You will try to do this. This is cradle to grave kind of work. Like, how do I get love? How do I keep myself safe? And how do I get my needs met? When you begin to answer those questions for yourself, you can likely see where you're getting off track in your relationship. You can see where your defenses are coming up. You can see where you're fighting about ridiculous things because you don't feel heard. You don't feel seen. You don't feel like connection is happening. Yeah. And so when you begin to make this sense for yourself, then there's ownership of this. So I always say like, it's awareness first. We're going to become aware. Then we have an opportunity to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. And when we are willing to acknowledge parts of our own story, that is where change can occur. We cannot change what we are unwilling to acknowledge. Okay.
Yeah.
And we will repeat what we don't repair. So if you can find yourself in the same type of fights or situations over and over again, that's where it's like slowing it down and becoming aware of what's going on and then acknowledging the part that you're playing in it. And then is there any change that needs to happen? So awareness, acknowledgement, and then pivot towards growth. That's the work I do with my clients is what does growth work look like? Well, before we get to growth work, we have to figure out what isn't working.
Yeah.
So you start with you. And then once you understand you, you start with a very empathetic posture.
Yeah.
As you're starting to learn about them because you need that empathy for your own self and your own story.
Yes.
And so it's this like, oh my goodness, that's why you do that. Oh my goodness, this is where this comes from.
Yeah.
And it's such a softer, such a softer response when you can look at it instead of slinging like, oh, you're just a seven. You don't finish anything. Like my husband could say that to me, you know? And I'm like, no, I do. Nobody has really helped me finish things in my life. I've had to figure things out. And so sometimes it all feels too much. And so when he has slowed down and coming into my world and helped me in areas that I've needed help, that's where a lot of growth and connection happens.
Well, you know, like I feel like when you start to dig in, like if anybody's listening and they're like, you know, if somebody's listening and they're like, this is just another personality test, which I want to ask you about next. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's kind of like you're saying that empathy to other people. I also find it more empathetic to myself. And I don't know if that's the three in me, but I'm just like, you know, I'm pretty hard on myself. And so it's like, if I, you know, I'm not up at 6 a.m., like, I'm like, this is ridiculous. You're so undisciplined. Like, I can't believe you, you know, whatever. But I feel like as I've learned some of the, you know, this discovery, to use your word, I feel like I just have more empathy for myself. And then in my marriage, I just feel like I can show up more empathetic because I'm, you know, I'm like, well, I just learned these things and now I don't, you know, I try to like hold it with an open hand. It is what it is.
Yes. I think that it is not like any other personality typing system because the Enneagram offers a growth track. All the other personality typing systems, they tell you you're a golden retriever. I don't really know them, you guys. So like you're all these letters or you're this color or whatever. I honestly was never interested in any of the personality typing systems before the Enneagram because I felt like the Enneagram made sense to me. It gave me language to who and what I felt about myself, like who I was or where this came from. And then it gave me a pathway towards health and growth. So I'm not stuck as a seven in this scattered thinking and this, you know, fantasy land, rose-colored glasses. I'm not stuck there unless I choose to stay there.
Yeah.
And so it kind of shows you, like, you have a choice. you are responsible for yourself and what will you choose? And so there is some responsibility on the other side of this personality typing system around if you choose to grow or if you choose to stay the same.
Yeah. And I like that responsibility piece because, mm-hmm. you know, and your work talks about like if you're stressed, this is how you might react, or if you're overwhelmed and some of these things. And, you know, of course, I'm like, well, why doesn't everybody change? Well, I guess, right, you know, but then it's, mm-hmm. you know, I know one of the things for three is like we take on too much. We have too many projects and too many things. And my husband, he's been saying for years, like, you don't need to do all this. Stop doing all this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I made some changes. Like I actually cut back at work last year and it's been great. And I'm like, why didn't I do this before? But to your point, I could have not. You know, mm-hmm. it was really hard to walk away from some things at work that I wanted and I've worked really hard for. And I had to step back because I got little kids and we needed to do that.
Yeah.
And that was pretty hard.
That piece, like, why would you not? Because it costs you something.
Yeah, it does.
So why would, you know, why would you not? So for me as an Enneagram 7, having like all these open-ended projects, I could continue like that. I could just be a dreamer. But what it cost me to not be a dreamer was a lot of time.
Yeah.
A lot of time, a lot of effort. It cost me taking risks and putting myself out there and letting people make comments and say whatever they want to say about what I write.
Yeah.
You know, there's a
lot of, it's very brave.
there's just a lot of risk in it. So there's a cost and a risk of why people don't change. Partly, you know, sometimes they don't know if they're not aware.
Right.
You can't change what you're unaware of.
Nope. Literally don't know.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So it's when you become aware that you can start to make those changes. That's why I love this tool so much. It gives you power.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does. I mean... I know. I'm just like, I'm going to see my girls tonight. I'm just going to tell them I had this great conversation. So, okay. So if somebody's like, I don't like these kinds of things because they pigeonhole you and then you feel like locked into a certain type of person or something. What's your argument to that? What's your response to that?
Mm-hmm. I get that. What I usually say is this tool doesn't pigeonhole you. It actually shows you or doesn't put you in a box. It actually shows you the box that you've put yourself in through patterns of behavior. Mm. So this tool is a very, like the work that I do all day, every day with people is help them see patterns of behavior. And then we can start to make sense of where it comes from and why they're doing it. And if they still want to continue with it. So I can understand why people feel like I don't want to be identified as an Enneagram 8, the protective challenger, you know, like I don't want people to think about me like that. And I, you know, I'm like, okay, I understand that. If we could get below the surface of it so you can understand more about yourself, then you would understand like the empathetic side of you is so guarded that the way people are experiencing you is strong and bold, assertive, abrasive sometimes, and protective, but that is not who you are at the core of who you are. And so if we could do the work around it, we could probably present in a different way and you could probably feel some freedom inside of that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I respect your opinion and your thoughts. And I understand if that's how you feel right now. If you ever want to talk about it, I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And I think it goes back to what you said is like, there's no bad number. Yeah, I think like kind of, and from all my friends listening, you have to follow Jackie on Instagram. You just have the best little nuggets, you know, through your day. And of course, I always look at my own. How long, who cares about all these? I'm just kidding. I read them all. because now I've talked about it so much. I know somebody pretty well who falls in almost all of these and like, they're just, you know, it's the back to knowing yourself and the awareness about yourself. And I listen to like a lot of podcasts and I just feel like I can come to the table very different than 3 or 4 years ago because I've just kind of wanted to learn more about why I operate the way I operate and really like how to make my marriage better, how to make my friendships better, how to make, you know, like show up better for my kids. Like, I'm like, why can't I just sit and be with my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because I'm just like on to the next achieving right. thing, which, you know, it is all of that. And so what have you, particularly in this book, because you've been doing this work for a while and this book just came out, what have you learned writing this book, like taking this deep dive into the Enneagram and marriage? Like if you could sum it up in like one or two nuggets, like what would you say?
About this particular book?
Yeah.
This book has the potential to transform relationships from the inside out.
It's so exciting.
It really does. And I know it because I've done it in my own marriage. And I know it because I do it with couples all the time, that I see the light bulb moments. I see the moments of connection that it's like, oh my gosh, you don't see me as the problem. That's not what this is. Or like, I'm not the reason why connection isn't happening, or this is why connection isn't happening. Yeah. You know, so this book really gives a very in-depth picture of each person that draws you towards each other if you choose to do the work. So part of this workbook that I love so much is the actual workbook part that you, okay. there's activities in this book and they're in there on purpose because information is not transformation until we activate it.
Okay.
I can know how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, bread, peanut butter and jelly. Until I put those together, it's not anything except for bread, peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
So I want you to take the information and activate it through those different activities, because when you do that, you're going to retain the information at a much higher rate than if you just read the words on a page. So doing something with this information is going to push you towards the transformation that you want within your relationship.
Okay. Give us an example of what are one of the activities that we would do in the workbook.
I'm like, I don't have it. I have it right here. I'm like, let me look. What did I put in there? I have all kinds of activities.
Well, you know, I know it's like.
There's so many activities, but it is kind of like there's an activity in the back of it that has two circles and there's a person like pushing each one of the circles to partner one and partner two. Okay. And inside of this activity, you begin to ask questions like, what causes me to feel I must protect myself? Mm-hmm. And so you can pick whatever you want, but there's some suggestions. Is it a person? Is it a place? Is it an item? Is it a sound? Is it a smell? Is it a look? Like, because in relationships, sometimes you can see the look in your partner's face and instantly shut down because you know,
yep.
oh, this is not going to go yep. well, or I just disappointed them or something. So I must protect myself because once I see that look happen in your face, it's over. The conversation's over. So I'm just going to pull away and retreat. So it gives you an opportunity to have the conversations around what's happening.
Yes.
So another question, how do I react when I feel I must protect myself? What do you do? Because some people are going to go into fight and they're going to yell and scream and get loud and aggressive. Mm-hmm. Other people are completely isolating. Other people are medicating. What do you need to do to protect yourself?
Yeah.
And then another question in the same activity is, how have I learned to cope around according to my Enneagram defense mechanisms? This particular thing is around your defense mechanism. So learning about those defense mechanisms. And when we talk about defense mechanisms within the Enneagram system, it is not boxing gloves. It's a shield. How did I learn to protect myself by using this particular defense mechanism? And so that's in this book. It's fascinating when you start to read it about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so fascinated already. Like, because And I think what the value in like the activities in the workbook and doing it together is like when some of these cycles start to repeat, we will know what's happening in our partner, right? Because like, you know, sometimes like if it's like what you just said, like the rage or avoidant, like totally. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I feel like if you come more empathetic and you can recognize some of these cycles, and I'm sure, you know, this is what you do all day. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it can transform communication and relationships and futures and kids and so many.
It does. This work has changed my marriage, which changed our family, the way that our family functions, and the security and safety that this family feels is different than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It completely changed the way that we function. it's beautiful work.
It is beautiful and wonderful, and everybody mm-hmm. needs to get their hands on this book if they're married. And so like, as we sort of wrap up here, where can people connect with you? Where can they get the book? All the places you hang out, like give us all the details.
Okay. I'm on socials on Instagram. Like I'm on Facebook too, but if you want to talk to me, go to Instagram. Yep. So it's at Enneagram with JB. I have a website that's at enneagramwithjb.com, and you can see all that I offer. I do personal coaching, corporate coaching, group coaching, all kinds of things like that. So you can see that there's I have a podcast, Enneagram Conversations with Jackie Brewster and Courtney Barman. Okay. So that is on wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yep.
I've got books out. So Amazon has my books. If you just Google my name,
yes.
or not Google, well, you can Google it, but I meant Amazon it.
Search the name in Amazon, yeah. the long there
you
way.
Go. Yeah. So I'm like, how do you do that? But you could find the books on my website on there, or even in my bio on my Instagram page. So yeah, that's how you can get a hold of me.
You know, I was researching you this week and I had seen the book. What is it? God 52. What's the name of that one?
So it's Hearing God Speak, a 52-week Enneagram devotional.
Okay, so this is like after my girlfriend went down the Enneagram rabbit hole. I saw that in Barnes & Noble and took a picture, and I was like, we have to explore this. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't realize that was you. And
that's
then,
me.
Yeah, how fun is that to make that connection?
I have that. I have this Enneagram Essentials card deck as well.
And so, tell me about that.
So this is, it's conversational. So if you guys like my Instagram, you would probably love this card deck. It's all 9 types and it goes through basics to deep dive and like bite-sized pieces. And it has each section has 5 questions to help prompt conversation or more understanding for yourself. So this can be done by yourself with a journal. It can be done with a group of people.
Oh, awesome.
People are like, is it a game? It could be if you wanted to make it a game.
Yeah.
But whatever you want to do with it. But okay. It's one of those tools that nothing was on the market and I wanted it for my clients.
Yeah.
And so they let me create it, which was very kind of them. So
it's amazing. It's amazing. And I saw it had a lot of awesome reviews. Well, Jackie, thank you for sharing your intel and insight and encouragement and doing this important work. I feel like renewed and inspired. Like, okay, yes. You know, there's more to learn and but not in a good way, like in a good way, not in an mm-hmm. overwhelming way. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. some of these things are like, whoa. And so you're doing a great job. And so thank you for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Jackie. Have a good afternoon. I'll be in touch.
Bye.
All right. See you later. Thanks for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Be sure to share with us on Instagram what you liked most about the episode by tagging me at Susanna.McMonagle. And lastly, if you want more information about the 5 to 8 shift, you can check out our website, the5to8shift.com. We'll see you guys next time.